Dear brothers and sisters, what does Father God mean to you? When I visit or meet students, I ask these questions. While I was serving as the guidance pastor of 8th graders, I asked the students, what does Father God, the Lord, and the Shepherd mean to you? So I requested them to answer to these questions, and the students gave me the answers, and I kept them because I kept them precious. So as you hear these confessions, their answers, I also want you to think about what Father God, the Lord, and the Shepherd mean to you. It's a confession from a sister. My father means everything to me, as in the lyrics of a praise song, Father God is my everything. He sent my precious shepherd for me. Also, he changes me through precious words. I hope I can offer my everything to the Father God who's given me everything. So Father God means everything to me. The Lord means warm sunlight. As warm sunlight touches the land, everything melts down. Likewise, our Lord melts down our frozen heart. And what does the shepherd mean to me? A shepherd is... Another sister, Father God means a sister. Just as a teacher at school guides and instructs his students, God leads me and instructs me on many things. I feel God's guidance. Especially when I want to become lazy in faith, God drives away such thoughts. When I look back on myself at night, Father God, the shepherd is like a rescue worker to me. Rescue workers strive to save even one more soul, one more person, and heal their wounds. Our shepherd always prays with tears so that he can lead more, just one more soul to New Jerusalem. Seeing the shepherd's tears, many people strive to change themselves. So, I also make efforts to change myself. As I keep on with my efforts, I will surely be changed. And the last... Now, they are 12 graders. Last person, he confessed that Father God is my breath. Breathing is essential to all of us. If we don't think about its importance, we lose gratitude. But if we try to think about it even a little, we can't but be thankful. That's why Father God is my breath. My Lord is love. He left behind all his glory, honor, and praise, and came down to this earth for lowly people and for me. He was subject to all kinds of suffering and mockery. Even while he was mocked by his own creatures, he endured everything on account of me, which is tremendous love. In the end, he was crucified to redeem me. So my Lord is love. My shepherd is forgiveness and chance. Even though senior pastor implored, pleaded with us, exhorted and encouraged us on the pulpit, I went back to the world again, even when his voice became hoarse, even though he gave me countless opportunities, I love the world. But as the shepherd gazed at me, I felt he was urging me to go to New Jerusalem together, and I was given another chance to get back up. So now he is leading us to the place between the first and second floors of the shepherd's castle in New Jerusalem. So my shepherd is my means forgiveness and chance to me. Brothers and sisters, what did you feel hearing those confessions? Did you receive a lot of grace? And so, did you think what Father God, the Lord and the Shepherd mean to you? So, who is the one who taught us about the Father God? It is our beloved Shepherd. Without the Shepherd, we would have feared towards God like Job did. And it would be difficult for us to feel the Father's warm love from the depths of our hearts. Because we could feel Father God's love through the shepherd, we were able to change ourselves. The same goes for me. As I told you several times on the pulpit, until 2011, I was wandering off in the world as a college student. But by the shepherd's love, I went to a prestigious college, but I left behind the love. I dyed my hair orange. I drank a lot. I drank a lot of alcohol. Actually, I didn't have that picture, but I managed to find those pictures. I was protesting. I was part of the demonstrators. I dyed my hair orange. Not only did I dye my hair orange, I also drank a lot. Almost 6 days out of 7 days a week, I drank. And because with a sense of competition, I try to drink even more. I also participated in dance club because my body is flexible. And I also joined a band, music band. I took in a lot of worldly things, as you saw in the picture. I also participated in social movements, student movement. And I wanted to fight against the unjust things of the world. I participated in movements of many sorts. But even while doing this, I felt void in my heart. But through the shepherd, I knew that the existence of heaven and hell. But as I stopped praying, I couldn't get strength. And even though I was stupid, the shepherd didn't give up on me. He continued to stretch out his hand and finally changed me. But one of the I'd like to share one of my testimonies. Back in 2012, when he came down from the mountain prayer, I visited him in his residence. Back then, senior pastor used to meet church members in his residence, so I went to visit him in a few years. I was afraid, but I was ready to accept any kind of advice he would give me. Senior pastor came down, and he looked around, and his eyes met my eyes. But senior pastor just glanced at me, and Pastor Changmin Kim, it's been a while since I saw you last, but my heart melt down. He asked, didn't you receive the prayer, to enter military academy? But hearing this, I was very surprised. Because back when I was a 12th grader, my school wanted to send some students to Korean Military Academy, but I didn't actually want to enter Military Academy. So I went to senior pastor so that because I didn't want to enter there. I received that prayer 5 years ago, but senior pastor remembered exactly the fact that I received the prayer 5 years back. So hearing this question, my heart melt down. I was just merely a student from the branch church, but senior pastor didn't because he wholeheartedly prayed for that matter. He still remembered the fact. So hearing this, I made a resolution to pay back his love. Even though I fell down again and again, but because of the shepherd, I could get back up, and now I'm standing here to share my testimony. I think all Mammy members have such testimonies by which you felt the love of the Shepherd and the Lord and the Father God. Amidst this flow of blessing granted to Mammy, to pay back the love that changed us, we have to be united with God who extended that love to us. So to pay back His love, we have to be united with Father God. So our shepherd shared the ways in detail at the 2013 Church Leaders Conference. In such a time as this, we have to hold fast to the shepherd's words of life and strive to achieve them. Only then can we repay the love we received. I hope that you keep in mind the ways to become united with Father God and act according to them so that you can happily confess to Father God, all of us are the lovely fruit of the shepherd. Dear brothers and sisters, in the last session, I told you that to be united with Father God, first, we should have all our affairs centered on Father God and look at things with His eyes. Those who become united with Father God always set their standard on Father God in their words, thoughts, and deeds. I took Prophet Enoch, for example. Today, going over the second way to be united with Father God, we will talk about such a submission, which is to obey, figuring out Father God's will. From the Measure of Faith series, we learned that in the fourth level of faith, one loves God to the utmost degree. And in the fifth level, the level of Holy Spirit, one can please God. To go beyond the level of loving God and please God, there's an important thing we have to keep in mind. We need to figure out God's heart. A man of spirit can figure out God's heart and His will to some extent, but they can't be said to be one with God. So even they love God, they sometimes fail to figure out His will completely and get things done in their limited view or limited heart. So they cannot bring perfect joy to Father God. So in order to please someone, we have to figure out his heart well. At the Church Leaders Conference, the shepherd added an example regarding this. As a husband and wife live together, they come to know each other's taste well, like which food they like. Sometimes we don't feel like eating some, even our favorite food. Other times, we feel like trying something that we don't usually enjoy. As a husband and a wife live together and know more about each other, they not only figure out what food they like, but notice when he or she wants to try something different. For example, when a husband loses appetite and feels like trying something different, his wife considers what he would like in that particular situation and prepares something that restores his appetite. Also, the husband may feel like eating something nutritious when he feels drained of energy. So his wife thinks, he looks drained out nowadays. I better make a nutritious meal for him. How good would it be if wives can notice even their husband's physical condition and prepare meals accordingly? However, some wives spend a lot of money to get expensive ingredients, but they end up preparing meals according to their own taste without considering their husband's taste or physical conditions. Although they think they serve the best meal for their husband, their efforts mostly end up in self-satisfaction. Even though husbands appreciate their efforts and try to eat, they don't like the food at all. But if we are united with someone, we go further than just giving what seems to be the best to our eyes. We please him by figuring out his heart. Even without talking, we can exactly figure out what he wants or how he feels. When we are in the level where we are united with Father God and please him, we go further than just obeying the truth we've learned. We figure out why God wants us to do something and how God wants it to be done and obey accordingly. Such obedience is called submission. Only when we reach such a level can we truly bring forth fruit that Father God wants. Let's delve more into what it is to submit ourselves. obedience can be categorized into three types. Blind obedience. First, blind obedience, which is doing something just because you are told. You obey simply because you have to. Spiritually, it lacks love and spontaneity. You're only focused on the physical deed of carrying out the instructions, just like robots. Second, it is to obey out of love for the other person. Without calculating this and that, you joyfully obey. But here, it is important to obey in the truth. To help you understand better, let me give you an example. In 2014, many people participated in the Bible reading campaign. As we recall, with what kind of heart we read a Bible, we can check what kind of obedience it was. Let's say someone read the Bible out of obligation just because many people around him joined the campaign. Without a specific purpose of reading the Bible, he was only focused on finishing the Bible quickly. What he did was blind obedience. Another person had a desire to obey the shepherd's word. So he read the Bible with joy and excitement, not out of obligation. Even when he ran out of time during the day, he happily stayed up until dawn to read the Bible. Father God rejoices more when His children show this kind of obedience rather than blind obedience. But what pleases Father God more is submission, which goes beyond this level. In addition to reading the Bible with a joyful heart, you ponder over why the shepherd told you to read a Bible. Remembering how the shepherd read a Bible, you took notes of do's and don'ts and keep and throw away commands and prayed. Thinking of those commands, you pray, holding on to those commands you took notes. This can be called submission, which is beyond the level of obeying God out of love. You figure out His heart and obey according to His will. The person who set an example of this kind of submission was Abraham, the father of faith. His submission was specifically manifested by his deed of offering his son Isaac. When Abraham turned 100, God allowed him to give birth to a son and promised that He would make a big nation of his son. But all of a sudden, God commanded him to kill Isaac, cut him to pieces, and offer them as a burnt offering. If Abraham had been a man of flesh, he would have involved all kinds of thoughts and never obeyed. He would have thought, I've looked upon God as the God of love, but it turns out He is so fearful. How could He make me kill my own son? My son is the seed of promise. Doesn't He keep His promise He made? With such thoughts, he would have misunderstood God. On the contrary, a person with a heart of spirit can trust God and obey unconditionally. But even while he obeys, he doesn't comprehend why God tells him to offer his only son, and how can God's covenant be fulfilled. But people of whole spirit can submit themselves to God, understanding His heart and His will. The shepherd explained, by passing this test, Abraham demonstrated that he was at the level of whole spirit. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises were offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. When God commanded him, Abraham didn't just say yes without any thought. He believed that even if he offered his son as a burnt offering, God would revive him again. He also believed that God would surely keep the promise of making a great nation of his son. So, Abraham perfectly obeyed, believing in the goodwill of God who can bring even a dead person back alive, faithfully keeps his promise, and always provides him with the best. Of course, saying amen and obeying without any thought is impossible with men of flesh. It is possible when a person at least becomes a man of spirit who believes and trusts God. In addition, if he obeys while figuring out his heart, he is at a higher level where he can show true obedience embedded with truthfulness and sincerity. Then, how can we show this kind of obedience, which is submission? Could it be achieved overnight? No, we should try to fill God's heart to the fullest and obey His will in our respective measures of faith. Of course, just doing so can't be called perfect submission. Perfect submission can be demonstrated only when you reach the fifth level of faith, Holy Spirit. Yet, as we do our utmost to obey in our measure of faith, we can advance more and more. As such deeds of obedience pile up, we can reach the perfect level of obedience, which is submission. Spiritually, as we continually show deeds, our heart embedded in our deeds deepen more and more. For example, babies cannot walk well from the beginning. At first, they toddle. After a few steps, they fall down. They cannot walk properly. But as they keep making attempts, they fall less frequently and walk better. As they continually practice walking, they can walk perfectly well in the end. When their child starts toddling and walking with faltering steps, parents happily say, "My baby is walking well." They say so, considering their baby's development. They cheer for them and help them walk better. It's the same with Father God. Even when we haven't reached the level of submission, as we make utmost efforts in our measure of faith, Father God is pleased. Also, He cheers for us and helps us attain to the level of submission. Thus, even though we haven't reached the level of Holy Spirit, we still have to do our utmost in our given situations to reach the level of submission. Even when we fall down from time to time, if we get back up and keep going, believing in Father God's love, we can get closer and closer to that level. Then, what should we do to reach the level of submission? First, we need a heart of love. Are you showing deeds of obedience with a heart of love or out of obligation? If you obey out of obligation rather than love, you feel burdened. But if you obey with a heart of love, you don't feel burdened. But you will find greatest joy in obedience, even when it takes a risk of losing all of yourself. Even in the world, parents run into the fire or jump into the water to save their children in danger. The reason they can risk even their lives is that they love them. If you love someone, you can risk even your own life without hesitation. If we love God from the depths of our hearts, we can't but obey His will. We won't avoid doing His will by involving our own thoughts. We will only say, "Yes, amen." To the extent our love for God is great, we try to do more than we are instructed. Also, if we have love, we consider God-given duties as our own affairs. We would obey in any manners without thinking, "This is Father God's business. Why should I be involved?" We have someone who has shown good examples in this regard. She is beloved Mrs. Bongnim Lee, who is lovingly leading us with all of her life. The fire of prayer has never stopped burning at Manmin, with dawn prayer meeting, morning divine healing meeting, Daniel prayer meeting, an extra prayer meeting after Daniel prayer meeting. Mrs. Bongnim Lee is doing her utmost, leading prayer meetings from morning to evening. Does anyone direct her to do so? It's because she loves the Father God, the Lord and the Shepherd so much, she volunteers to lead all such prayer meetings.
To 철야하고 별미 기도는 또 이성 목사님께서 마음 다 인도해 주고 계십니다.
Also, there are morning prayer meeting, an afternoon prayer session, and dinner prayer meeting. She's leading all these prayer meetings. She's not just she doesn't just lead a prayer on the pulpit. She walks down to the church members to pray for them. Now she's been healed of her back, but even when she had a backache, she walked down from the pulpit to pray for people, regardless of her condition. Why? It's because she loves the Father God, the Lord, and the Shepherd from the depths of her heart. Also, because she loves the church members so much. As we go through this time of blessing, I've hardly seen Mrs. Bong Nim Lee shedding tears during Daniel prayer meeting, although she's often moved to tears. During the Sunday evening service last week, I was a presider. Watching the White Stone Choir's performance, I shed a lot of tears, thinking how happy our shepherd would be if we watched the performance of those adorable children. It felt like the lyrics were our shepherd's message to us. With such joy and inspiration, I was watching the performance, but I happened to see Mrs. Bong Nim Lee. She was wiping away tears with her handkerchief. Seeing her, even though I haven't asked her in person how she felt, I figured that she was trying her utmost to smile more often to protect the shepherd and the church members, even though she was the one who wanted to cry more than anyone else. With her exceeding love for Father God, the Lord, and the shepherd, and the souls, she's carrying out her duties with all of her strength, more faithfully than she was entrusted. Thanks to Mrs. Bong Nim Lee, we could keep communicating with Father God, pray fervently, and walk down the way to becoming Father God's true children. We should also obey with love for Father God and our God-given duties. Then, what does Father God want us to obey with a heart of love? Can we bring Him joy only when we obey something big? It's not that the Father only wants us to achieve something great. From small things, God wants us to show obedience with a heart of love. During worship services, we can check whether we listen to Father God's words with a fluttering heart, with love for God. During prayer meetings, we can check how much we cherish our conversation with the Father. By looking at how we worship God and pray, we can examine whether we are submitting ourselves to Father God. The same goes for our God-given duty. As we obey out of love for Father God, He will surely pay us back with blessings. Another thing we have to check is, a senior pastor has given us a precious gift. You know what it is? It is the book entitled The Present of Love, Gift of Love. As senior pastor implored, are you taking notes of do's and don'ts commands and praying upon them? Senior pastor made a request, earnest request. So as we read this book, we have to find do's and don't commands and pray upon them so that we can come into spirit and Holy Spirit more deeply. Senior pastor made that request. So when we meet senior pastor again, we have to confess, we've read this book and we have been trying to achieve those words. I hope we will be able to make such confessions when we meet him again. Our students as well are also, I recently initiated a project for students. It's a project to, there are five items, restoring the worship services and loving the sanctuary and sanctifying our hearts, and figuring out God's will, and understanding what untruth is. So with these 5 points, we are checking ourselves. And students are now participating in 2 week special prayer meeting. We started it from last week, and students have sent testimonies regarding this. This is a testimony from an eighth grader. Right before the special prayer started, he had a pain in his abdomen, in his belly. So his mother told him, would you take a break from praying today? This student said no. He insisted on going to prayer meeting. Her mother later confessed that he insisted on going to prayer meeting even though he had a pain in his belly. But as he came to the prayer meeting, he prayed fervently. So I met him on the street. Another student, I met him on the street. He was eating something. Because he had a pain in his belly, he couldn't eat, but he was eating. But, you know, the second point was loving the sanctuary. So students were not allowed to eat something in the sanctuary. So that's why he came out of the sanctuary and eating something on the street. So I was very happy to see that student loving God's sanctuary and eating something outside. And as we are having this special prayer meeting, there's a rule. Students should pray at least more than 1 hour. There's a student who is so busy and he can't make time to come to the prayer meeting. So he came and asked how he could attend the prayer meeting. So I advised him that. So many people participated in this special prayer meeting. And in this period, in schools, they had the graduation. Many schools had graduation trip, and so many of our students were not able to make it to the prayer meeting. So they asked, "How could I make it to the prayer meeting?" Or so I advise him to keep praying when you are on a trip, on a graduation trip. So that's how students are running so hard. It's not just testimonies of the students, but it's for all of our Mamin Church members. While I was on my way to a prayer meeting, I met an old woman. I saw that old woman sitting in the sanctuary and shedding tears and praying and praising. Because she was an old woman, she must have been tired, but she was praying so earnestly. So I was so inspired to see her earnest praise and prayer. So I look back on myself. I look back how much I love Father God and try to obey with all of my heart. I challenge all of you to obey with a heart of love, even in small or trivial matters, so that you can submit yourself to Father God and bring Him the light. To reach the level of submission, second, we need an attitude of contemplating His will. The core of submission is to obey according to Father God's will, not ours. For this, we need an attitude of always meditating on Father's will. Without such an attitude, we cannot figure out His heart, no matter how much we love Him. Then no matter how much we love Father God, we may end up doing things the way we please rather than God's desired way. As a result, we cannot bring perfect joy to Father God. For this reason, we need an attitude of always pondering over Father God's will. To have such an attitude, we have to check ourselves in two areas. First, we have to examine whether we don't insist on ourselves in any situation. In our, if our self completely dies in the truth, we no longer have a desire to insist on our self-righteousness, benefits, selfish desires, etc. Our self-righteousness solidifies into frameworks. When self-righteousness by which one insists on his being right hardens, it becomes frameworks. Self-righteousness and frameworks are mostly not right in light of the truth, because they originate from a self-seeking heart of untruth. But even those who profess to live by the Word of God have their self-righteousness and frameworks they can realize for themselves. The shepherd explained, because they think they've cast off untruth to some degree and have the knowledge of the truth, they begin to insist on self-righteousness. In a specific situation, they believe something to be the will of God, and this belief develops into a framework, and they force others to follow this as well. Such individuals have developed solid frameworks and strongly insist on following them. So, as they work with others on a task, they ignore different opinions. People who work with them can't dare to make other suggestions. Because they are not united in heart, they have complaints piled up inside and grudgingly follow them. Even while they handle the task this way, they don't think they give a hard time to others because they work for the kingdom of God. They think the only reason they feel agonized is they lack the faith and love for God. So, whatever we accomplish, we should have a heart that doesn't insist on ourselves at all. To do so, we have to look at things the way God wants, not with our self-righteousness and frameworks. We should have love, virtue, and mercy so that we can comprehend others' positions in goodness with a broad heart, not with a narrow heart. Only then can we deal with all matters in a God-desired way and pursue sanctification and peace with all men. Second, we have to examine whether we can truly confess, may all things be done according to your will, your word. There are cases where frameworks developed in the truth hold us back from figuring out God's heart and His will. Even so, we think we hear the Holy Spirit's voice and receive His guidance well. But when we apply the knowledge of the truth in our own will, in our own way, it often turns out not to be the voice of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the voice turns out not to be right. His decision. But if we achieve a heart of spirit and have no self-righteousness and frameworks, then we can be inspired by the Holy Spirit exactly. Even while we have passion for God's kingdom, we have no selfish desire. Even when God commands us to turn all things we've achieved by great efforts to nothing, because we only want to follow His will, we can obey without any resentment or regrets. No matter how right or appropriate our thoughts seem, we admit that we may be wrong and humbly accept even the words of little ones. Moreover, even when we find something totally incomprehensible by our common sense, we manage all things in peace and virtue because we pursue others' benefits in all things, no matter how right or he thinks it. Even when we suffer loss by others' faults, we have mercy on them rather than blaming them. We would rather encourage them or give words of comfort. Moreover, because we want all things to be done according to God's will, we completely give up ourselves and press on with love for God. To sum up, to have an attitude of contemplating God's will, we have to check ourselves with two questions. Do you not insist on yourself in any situation? Do you want anything to be done only by God's will and His word? Examining ourselves closely, we have to change our hearts. In the Bible, we have figures we can learn from. Joab, who didn't submit himself to David, and three mighty men who were the opposite. Joab, who was David's relative and the commander of the army, stood by David even when he was chased by his enemy. He went through times of joy and trouble with them. Because he was wise and brave, he successfully dealt with the problems David wanted to resolve. In a battle with Ammonites, after he almost conquered the city, he allowed David to take the city at the final moment. In doing so, he gave credit to David, not to himself. Even though he was such a faithful vessel, David didn't feel comfortable towards him because his service didn't come from his heart. In order to achieve his goal, he didn't hesitate to act disrespectfully before David. He even violated David's will when it went against his benefit. For example, when the enemy general Abner came to David to surrender, David treated him well and sent him back. By embracing Abner, David intended to appease and win the people's heart. As soon as Joab found out about this, he ran after Abner and killed him because Abner killed his brother in a previous battle. Despite knowing that it would bring much trouble to David, Joab dealt with the matter out of his personal feelings. Also, when David's son Absalom rebelled, David asked his soldiers to be generous with Absalom. Even Joab knew the king's command. Joab ended up killing Absalom. Joab may argue that what he did was for David because Absalom could have rebelled again if he had been left alive. But he violated the king's command at will. Even though Joab served David in life or death situations, he denied him, he defied him in such critical moments, so he was like a burden to David. Later on, Joab rebelled against King Solomon and was killed as a result. Rather than obeying David's will, he intended to set up another person whom he liked as a king. Despite accompanying and serving David for all his life, he ended his life not as a faithful servant, but as a traitor. Contrary to Joab, among followers of David were people who tried to fulfill his will of their will, even when their lives were threatened. They are three mighty men who broke through the enemy camp at the risk of their lives to draw water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem. David didn't give them a direct command. He simply said, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." But three mighty men loved David so dearly that they risked their own lives to refresh his heart. David's three mighty men always stayed with David even when he underwent life-threatening situations. They didn't follow and serve David only when it was beneficial to them, but stood by him to the end with the resolution to even die with him. As a result, they were gloriously recorded in the Bible as faithful ones. In carrying out God's work, so which one would you follow under? Joab or three mighty men? You should fall under the category of three mighty men. In carrying out God's work, what's important is not how hard we do it, but how close we are to the will of God. I hope that all of you display such perfect deeds of obedience, thereby making our Father God joyful and proud. Let me conclude the message. Today, under the title To Be United with Father God 2, we talked about submission, which is to obey Father God, figuring out His will. To reach the level of submission, first, we need a heart of love. Second, we need an attitude of contemplating God's will. To have an attitude of contemplating God's will, I emphasize that we examine ourselves with two questions. Do you not insist on yourself in any situation? Do you want anything to be done only by God's will and His word? Brothers and sisters, Manmin is currently in the flow of blessing. amidst this flow, we should achieve perfect spiritual change. Only then will the blessing be ours for sure. Do any of you doubt, could I be worthy of blessing? If you have such doubts, the shepherd preached on the second prayer title of the year 2015, Fruit. He said as follows, does any of you think, how could a person like me achieve spirit? Being on the rock of faith is enough, or I'm satisfied with salvation. With fleshly thoughts, you may think this sounds humble or greedless, but spiritually, it's never so. This is the ignorance of God's grace. You know, our Lord didn't carry the cross just to give us salvation. Also, if we are aware that Father God has cultivated human beings, shedding earnest tears for so many years, we cannot say, I'll stop here and live in comfort. If you could watch how I spend each day to lead you to New Jerusalem, none of you would think, I can't bear it anymore. How could a person like me make it? I want to give up. In the words of the shepherd, we can feel how many tears our shepherd has shed, how much sacrifice he has endured. That's true. Our shepherd has endured so much to lead us to become God's true children. He has fulfilled the justice day after day, and his fulfilling of the justice hasn't ended. In order to to enable us to achieve a sincere and perfect faith, he is fulfilling the 99% justice to the very end without caring about himself. Let me share with you the confession of the shepherd from the book Profession. This is the shepherd's confession he made as the church went through trial back in 1999. As I read this confession, I imagine how the shepherd must be feeling nowadays. To keep the flock entrusted by the Father, nobody can sever the cord of my love, my longing, my passion, and my desperate concerns. For I have always sought to reveal the glory of the Father and the glory of the Lord. And because the Father and the Lord know this Son better than anybody, I'm overcoming everything. No matter what the people may say, their foolishness only makes me have pity on them, so that the Father will remember this compassion of mine. Even today, I give all my heart for their salvation and for the flock of my dear Father. Father, my beloved Father, physically, I have no strength even to open my mouth, yet I gather my strength in my hands, and I try to focus my mind and carry and cry out. I do not have the leisure to think of my body or my situation while trying to keep watch over my beloved flock. I'm so desperate, and with earnest desire, I lace my fingers with all my strength and pray to protect the flock given by the Father. I exert my strength, and I try again. I shed so many tears that I wonder if there are any more tears left. But they roll down my face again. This is my heart for the Father, the Lord, and the souls. I remember and keep in mind again and again that you told me this is for blessing, as this day is going to pass by. Father, Lord, because you are always beside me, I gain strength and can again go on. Because I believe it is for blessing, I think of the way of the Apostle Paul and how severe his sufferings were. And then I wonder if I would be able to go the same way. He just gave thanks even in such great hardships. The more I think about him, the deep impression it has made causes tears to flow down my face. The way given to me has not been an easy way that it, even if you told me to go this way again, I would again surely be going this way. As you hear this confession, what thoughts went through your mind. This confession that he made 20 years ago, I thought that especially this part, the way given to me has not been an easy way, but if you told me to go this way again, I would again surely be going this way. These words were inscribed in my heart. Just to save the souls, the shepherd didn't give it a second thought. He didn't hesitate. He's now spending each day like this. For the sake of our spiritual change, he doesn't care about himself. He, with such a desperate heart, he is fulfilling Father God's will. Because of such love, we have been able to change ourselves perfectly. We have to repay his love, don't we? So we have to pray all the more fervently and be faithful all the more, so that when we meet our shepherd again, we will be able to confess. We've worked hard. We have been praying fervently. We have to make such confession proudly, confidently, when we meet the shepherd again.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children, and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.